give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal profession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Shall we say those last two lines together once more? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Hallelujah. Pakarongo kite kupu a te wairua kite hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tana kupu kia tātou. Now it feels like Palm Sunday, doesn't it? The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoemiti, te kororia, ki te atua. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. Having finished his teaching, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Te ronga pai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamomi I titi ia te kupu mana.
Thanks, Penny. Good morning, everybody. Hey, thanks for singing so passionately this morning, by the way. It's just lovely when you're worship leading and you just feel the whole room rising. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, but it's Palm Sunday today, and I have mixed and diametrically opposed feelings about Palm Sunday. On the one hand, I love this picture that Bruce painted for us of Jesus being welcomed into Jerusalem, the crowds pouring out onto the streets, him being recognized for who he is, the King, the Messiah, and welcomed in and receiving the praise that is that is due to him. I love it. It's kind of like, I remember in my early days as a Christian, it was kind of like, I don't know, like you've got this really good friend, and then like you just think he's amazing, and then you kind of, he gets kind of discovered by everyone else, and everyone's like, he's really amazing. I'm like, yeah, he really is. And it's just that feeling that of joy for me that someone I love is being recognized and receiving his due and welcomed and being seen by everyone else. And so I love the picture that Bruce painted of this welcome into Jerusalem, and it fills my heart with joy to think about that. But of course, I know what happens in the week to come as well. You know, that these crowds who are welcoming Jesus in so enthusiastically get a little bit challenged by his presence in Jerusalem, and they start off with hosannas on Sunday, and then by Friday they're shouting, "Crucify him." And then, of course, he gets betrayed by one of his friends. He gets disowned and rejected by another one of his friends. You know, and a part of me, on just a very human level, puts myself in the feet of Jesus and just thinks, wow, imagine going through that. Imagine going through this week. You know, and that's what we do. We're invited to journey with Jesus through Holy Week. And a part of me just goes, wow, that's terrible. And then a part of me, from a humanity perspective, goes, what is wrong with us? That we can build someone up on a Sunday and we can tear them down on a Friday, as it was then, so it is often now. What's wrong with humanity? And then, of course, on a personal level, I recognize myself in that crowd. You know, I recognize at points in my life where something amazing has happened and I've been praising God one minute, or I've been to a camp or a conference, or I had a great service or a fantastic piece of transformative news, and I've been praising God and my heart's been full of joy and it's been overflowing in praise. And then not long after, I've suddenly realized that, oh, I've drifted. My heart's become colder towards God, maybe even hardened towards God. How does that happen? And so that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today. And so I thought, great, I've got the theme and I've been thinking about it all week. And I thought, what am I going to talk about? How are we going to tackle this? How can we ensure that our praise is heartfelt, authentic, and lifelong, that our hearts are fully captivated, passionate, and alive in worship of God all the time, not coming and going and coming and going and coming and going? So the first thing that I hit upon, it was kind of the obvious one, was, well, you know, I could talk about sin. Sin kind of gets in the way of our relationship with God. It's kind of when we take our focus off Jesus and we start to glorify and set our focus upon something else in our lives. That's a really good way to turn our hearts away from praising God. But I thought, I don't really want to go down that route, and for two reasons. One was because last time I preached was just before Ash Wednesday, and Ash Wednesday, at the beginning of our Lent journey, we very much engage with that theme, don't we? You know, we recognize our sin, we grieve it, we confess it, and we repent and turn away from it. So we started our Lent journey in that way. So I thought, I don't want to kind of cover that ground again. And I was also talking to one of the other preachers on our team here, and we were just talking about, you know, it's really easy to fall into the trap of preaching for the behaviour you don't want, but we're like, we should preach for the behaviour that we do want. It's like, you know, like with kids, you don't say, don't run onto the road, you say, be safe and hold my hand as we cross the road. You know, you preach for the behaviour that you want. So I'm going to preach for the behaviour that I want. So we're going to take the positive route. And you're like, Ben, you are so positive. You're the positivity guy right here in this church. So we're going to take that route. So there's going to be 3 points to the sermon because it is an Anglican sermon. And we're going to go down that route. So you can just settle on in. The first way that we keep our hearts ablaze for worshipping God is that we make this gathering of the saints a priority in our lives every single week. Now, I know what you're thinking, because many people have said this to me before, but I can worship God anywhere, at any time. I could worship God on the couch at home in my pajamas. And this is a good time to welcome our people in on the live stream today. Hello. And that is true. You can. I could worship God walking along the beach. I could worship God in the forest. I can worship God on my own wherever I am. And this is very true in theory. But what I guess I've found and what I've observed is in practice, it's a lot harder to keep our hearts ablaze for God, our worship passionate, unless we are making this space, our gathering together as saints, a priority in our lives. There's something about gathering together that just helps lift one another into God's presence. You know, I kind of had this picture in my head about an alternative vision than the one Bruce painted about Palm Sunday. Imagine Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's riding on in, revealed in the fullness of who he is. And there's six guys, his mum, and a cardboard placard that just says, "Yay, Jesus." Not quite the same impact, I'm imagining. Instead, the picture that we have is Jesus is entering. And people are flocking from all over Jerusalem. They're like, "I've got to be here to see this guy because of all the stuff that's happened that Bruce alluded to. All these things have been happening. Well, I've got to see this guy." And for every person that runs forward and lays down palms and raises up hands, there are two more behind him going, "Yeah, I'm joining in. This is amazing. I'm joining in." And this wave starts to build through Jerusalem, a wave of praise. And it picks people up as it goes. And people are drawn into it, so much so that this wave just feels like it's got a momentum of its own, that even, as the Pharisees say, "Do you reckon everyone could just keep it down a little bit?" Jesus said, "Look, even if everyone stops singing, there's just this feeling right now that even if every person in Jerusalem stops singing, the rocks and stones themselves would cry out because there is this powerful movement of praise in this moment. There is something powerful about gathering together as the saints to praise God together that keeps our hearts passionate and alive. Don't you think? So, the second thing then, as we gather, are you a thermometer or a thermostat worshipper? I love this concept. Heard about it years ago, so I'm going to share it with you today. So, a thermometer worshipper walks into the room, takes the spiritual temperature of the room and slots in. You don't want to be lame. No. You don't want to be lame because that would mean your stats would be standing out. But you don't want to look too excited. You just want to slot in at the right temperature. Thermostat worshippers walk in and go, "I am so glad to be here. I'm just going to worship God with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my strength today. I don't care what anyone else is doing. That's what I'm going to do." And they lift the spiritual temperature of the room. And what happens then is that everyone starts to like rise a little bit. Have you experienced that? I have. Let me give you a couple of examples right here in this place. So last week I wasn't rostered on anything. It was a bit weird, but I was like, I'm just sitting in the pews. I'm assuming I can still worship God from here. It's good. But I was just like, you know, finding my space, and the first song started, and I've known John Anderson down here quite a while. And first song, "Amazing Grace," John Anderson. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me." And I'm just like, yes, yes, you know. And John is a thermostat worshiper. Everyone's going to watch you every Sunday. You know, it inspired me. It raised my spiritual temperature. And I was like, yes, yes, you know. And so I want to be someone who worships God authentically and passionately, like John, when I am also in my advanced middle age. You know? It's inspiring. Every church needs a John. Right, but we've got him. Yes. Or another example, two new people in this church. And I was having coffee with one of them, and they don't sort of come from an Anglican background. So they said, I really felt moved by the music, and I wanted to lift my hands, but I wasn't sure if we do that here. So I thought, oh, okay. So I just thought, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just hold off. But then the guy in front of me pulled his hands out of his pockets, raised his hands, and I went, yeah, all right, come on then, let's do it, like, you know? And it just, it's amazing. We just inspire one another. And so here's two ways that you can be a thermostat worshipper. One is you can say the liturgy, or you can really engage the liturgy with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know the one, eh? Almighty God, to whom our hearts are open, all desires know, and who knows secrets of him. You know, or you can say it like you mean it. You can say it like you mean it. You know, you can sing these songs, you can mumble your way through the verses and give it a little bit more juice in the chorus, or you can really engage your mind and go and affirm what it is that you're saying and sing it from here and physically lift your voices or your hands or bow your neck, whatever it is, physically engage yourself in worship so that we are loving God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength all of the time when we come and worship. And that's hard because we do have those moments when we come and go, and not every day is amazing. Not every day, sometimes we stumble in. We just manage to get the kids in the car, you know, and manage to down half a coffee as we were heading out the door, you know. We don't always arrive in the best state, do we? But that's when the worship of the saints becomes so important, because we lift one another and we praise God together. Lastly, worship is not just a service or an event, obviously. Worship is a lifelong, daily attitude towards God. And at this point, I am going to return slightly to our Ash Wednesday theme, right at the beginning of Lent, because when we have confessed our sins and we have repented, i.e. turned away from our sins, what we are invited to do on our Ash Wednesday reading is to embrace spiritual disciplines that regularly place us in the presence of God to worship. Some of the ones that Jesus talks about are the spiritual practice of prayer, of generosity, of worship, of scripture reading, allowing ourselves to soak and reflect on scripture. All these things just daily place us in the presence of God. And if we are daily placing ourselves in the presence of God, our hearts will remain ablaze, passionate, connected. We won't have that thing where we're passionate on a Sunday, but we start to lose our way during the week. Those daily habits. And it's kind of boring, I know. If you've been coming to church all the time, it's like the secret sauce, isn't it? Get those spiritual disciplines right in your life during the week, and I'll keep you connected with God throughout. Now, that's every week, clearly. But this week ahead of us is a particularly special week. It's Holy Week. It's a whole journey from these highs of Palm Sunday through some pretty big lows to an incredible high on Easter Sunday. And if we don't take that journey during the week, there are a couple of things. We're not getting the whole story, first of all. And also, that's not reflecting how life is. Life isn't always pow, pow. Life has some ups and downs. And when we take that journey authentically during the week, we learn how to walk with Jesus through those ups and downs. And we know that God is with us in the low points as well as the high points. So what I'm going to do is, last time I preached here, I challenged you to engage with the Ash Wednesday services, and it was amazing how many people turned out for Ash Wednesday. We had three different services across the parish. It was amazing. It was awesome. I loved it. It was such a great way to start Lent together. So this Sunday, I want to challenge you to really engage yourself with Holy Week this week. We have services in the chapel every single day at 8:30 in the morning in the chapel space. Try and make one at least. I know people have got work and all the rest of it. But if you can get to one, that would be amazing. Good Friday. We have services down at St. Michael's and up at St. Andrew's Rikarangi. Get along to it. Pick one and go. Walk that journey. So that when we come along to Easter Sunday, Christ is risen. Come on. Thank you, Anglicans. And you Salvation Army guys who are just still getting the hang of it. You know, we've taken that journey and our worship is actually authentic. We've taken the journey. We haven't just rocked up for the good times. We haven't just rocked up for Palm Sunday and Easter. We've taken the journey. And what we've got is that we have a bunch of really dedicated people who make these palm crosses in our church. And so what we're going to invite you to do is when you come for communion, we're just going to invite you to take one of these. And you can carry it on the journey with you this week. You know, if you can't make it to a service, that's okay. Hold that cross. Have your devotional time. Get along to what you can. But let this be a big part of the journey for you. When I first became a Christian, I think by the time I moved, I had six of these pinned to my wall next to my bed, all in various stages of drying out. And it was like green ones all the way through to the really brown ones. But it was awesome. It reminded me that I'd been walking with Jesus for 6 years, each one along the way. And these markers in our church here are actually really good ways of staying on track. So I'm just going to ask the worship team to come on up, because we are going to respond in worship as well before communion. So come on up, team. And can I ask you to stand? I'm just going to set something in your minds before we worship. One of the ways in which I sometimes encourage people to refire their hearts or to sing with hearts ablaze is just to do a little exercise. So can I just ask you to close your eyes for a moment? We've had that wonderful imagining of Palm Sunday and just picturing ourselves in that crowd. But I just want you to... I know there'll be people across this congregation who are in all sorts of different places with God right now. But I want you, if you can, to remember a time where you just sang and worshipped with such joy and passion and abandon in response to something that God was doing in your life. It might be the very first time when you experienced the presence of God in your life. It might be when you had a piece of great news or at a conference or a camp or sometime. Sometime when your heart was just so full that you couldn't help but just express that feeling to God with all that you had, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. I want you to picture that and just what was happening at the time. What was God doing? What was happening around you? How were you feeling? What did it feel like to have your heart just bursting to overflowing with praise? You know, and if this is your first time in church and you're like, I don't know if I've had one of these experiences. Think about a time in your life when you had... something was so good that your heart felt so full that you just felt like you needed to express something and you didn't necessarily have the words or even know who it was that you wanted to express that worship to. But just think about that time, what if that feeling of having your heart full to bursting. And then if you like, you can direct that feeling, that thought, towards God in worship. Because God is the giver of all good things.
present in our lives. We've welcomed him in and been aware of his presence with us now. So let's enter into the presence of God. You can ease into the song if you like. You might just want to express something of your own praise to God as we do. You might want to lift your hands. You might want to kneel or just sit and be with the presence of God. But let's engage all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, full to overflowing with praise.
You've got a lion inside of those lungs.
Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, and don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on. You get shy on me, lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of us. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on. So come on, my soul. And don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul.